Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Happy Thursday, Cleveland. We have the Guardians playing day baseball today, which means we have some Guardians reaction coming your way. Cavs continue along while the Knicks have a finals parade. And while Brown's conversation mostly still revolving around Brendan Sorsby at this current point in time, so everybody get excited for that. We have so much to talk about, 4 hours to do it. It is Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. We have running the board as well. You heard him on the 2020s doing work behind the glass. It is the Swiss Army Knife, Michael Markoch, with us tonight. And We got big life things happening over this weekend, okay? This entire week has been planned by the idea that I have continued while also absolutely procrastinating and doing the things that I normally do as a human being in my everyday life. But procrastinating to pack day after day. And today became big packing day. When I get home tonight, it'll continue to be big packing day because we pick up keys to the apartment. Tomorrow, we move into the apartment, entirely using an actual, a truck to move in on Saturday. And I feel that I'm not ready. Throughout the show, if you have moving advice for me, anything that I actually need to know, we're taking it. 216-474-0092. We're more than welcome to take in some of the calls, advice you want to have for that. Because I feel like I'm prepared, feel like I'm mostly ready to go. I think I'm going to dread Saturday with every single inch of my being. Every ounce that I have as a human, I think I am going to absolutely hate. And this just comes off the back and the idea that I have today. Friday is the get the keys, get ready day. Saturday is a move in. Sunday is Father's Day, so I'm going immediately from moving in immediately back home to then celebrate Father's Day. And then my sister gets married the upcoming weekend, which it starts, for bridesmaids and everything else early in the week at Tuesday or Wednesday. I have things starting on Thursday. We go past that. The following weekend is the 4th of July. I should be unpacked sometime by early August. Like, we should be good to go sometime by early August. This is just an absolute, it's a month, okay? It's going to be about 30 days worth of, maybe this wasn't the best time. Maybe we could have picked a better day. Life could have happened a better time. But, I don't. All that to say, we're still going to have a good show, but stress is running high. I'm constantly thinking back, like, five times throughout just getting ready for this show. I was like, did I pack that away yet? Do I need to have that packed away? I've just about everything done, though. We're okay. We're fine. We're going to survive. And something that helped me survive today was occasionally checking in on the Guardians and eliminating, getting their first win, Sin Jose Ramirez, following his stint over to the IL with the broken hamate bone. I will say, though, the win was nice, right? I mean, Parker Messick goes on the bump, gives you six innings, gives up two runs, puts you in a good spot. Bullpen picked him up very nicely. And felt like we were in an okay spot. Things went well in that sense. The offense played about as good as you could have asked for them without Jose Ramirez. Like, this feels like a good offensive day with the three injuries you have piled up. I say without Jose. That also obviously includes Angel Martinez and Chase Lauder on top of it. But this felt like about as good as a day as I could have asked for offensively. And still, the Guardians walked away with four runs on the board. And three of them had to come via solo shots in the long ball. Like, it's a good vibe boost. It's a good reminder to the rest of the team that, hey, you do still have talent floating around. You can still go put up runs on the board, and you can win baseball games against what is legitimately a very good baseball team. And the Milwaukee Brewers are 45-27 on the year, 25-15 at home. They were sitting 11 games over 500 at home. So it's a good reminder to that. I just, like, today was unconvincing for me. And maybe that's just my perception on the Guardians, my perception after the injury. But I sit here where we're at right now, and it's like, congratulations, you won a game 4-2. Like, you've basically crossed the threshold into being a competent major league offense today. That's what it felt like. Incompetent on one day after I watched 2 days of incompetency. Guardians matching their hit total today from the previous 2 days, and when that number is 7, it does not leave me in a very good place. I just still am so unconvinced by what I watched today that I don't know that going into what is at least a long weekend for myself, what is going to be, I think, it's still a relatively big weekend. Guardians are going to be on the road a lot here coming up over the next couple of weeks, because this is now, you know, you take your trip down to Houston, then you go to Chicago. So, and Chicago's playing well. Obviously, those are going to be very impactful games in the AL Central and AL standings. I just, what is my goal supposed to be for the Guardians walking away from this road stint? They're currently 1-2. Like, we talked about 500 kind of being the benchmark. At least that's the way that I see it for the Guardians. While you're dealing with all the three injuries that you have right now, it's keep your head above water, play 500 baseball, and hope you're still in the mix by the time Jose comes back. I feel like rooting for 500 baseball at this point is still too long of an ask to assume that the Guardians are just going to be able to get it done. Astros come in 6 games under 500. You're right about tied with the White Sox atop the AL Central. I just don't have that much confidence. But Zach Meisel of The Athletic on earlier today with Ken and Anthony, obviously prior to today's game, but spoke about the idea of how far a win goes with the schedule ahead. Here we go.
I think they desperately need a victory. They need a win. A single day where you feel good about yourselves. I think everybody needs just a collective exhale, and the way you get that is a win. But they're operating with zero margin for error. I think the pitching staff feels that too. It's tough, you know, and you're right. This is a big road trip because the Brewers are really good. Even if those guys are healthy, this is a tough series. But the Astros are very much down this year and trending toward a seller at the deadline. And then you've got the White Sox. And it's not just the White Sox in Chicago to start next week, but the White Sox come to Cleveland the week after that. And you look around the AL Central, which is your best friend. It's wide open. It's not very good. And the White Sox seem to be the only team that's going to give you some competition here. So you're going to have to play well. You want to get a couple wins out of your system before you face the White Sox so that you're not still feeling that pressure.
This is the thing, and I agree with Zach when we talk about the importance of these games. Obviously, I mean, 7 games of the White Sox coming by the time that we hit July 5th. You are going to obviously need those wins, and I think, you know, this is going to be something that probably helps determine where the AL Central is going, probably helps determine what the Guardians are thinking as we get closer and closer to deadline time and what they're going to be able to accomplish without Jose Ramirez. And I think a win can do a lot for a baseball team. You can absolutely look at this team and say, you know, just getting one under their belt, being able to take that XL as Zach laid it out, it puts you in a pretty good spot to just relax. I still don't know that this win convinces me of everything. I don't know that it feels like a massive exhale to anybody. Like, oh, you showed you could win a game. I still agree with Zach when we talk about the pitching staff. I'm imagining they feel like they have to be just about perfect. I mean, you're not going to win a game where you give up 9 runs, but obviously Gavin Williams was far from perfect yesterday. The offense did not support him. Daniel Schneemann had 1 good swing of the bat. They lost a game where they hit a grand slam by 5 runs. Like, you picked up 4 in 1 swing, and it was the only thing you did, and you put 3 hits on the board. The night before that, obviously, like we've talked about, the Guardians put up 1 run and lost the game 2-1. I mean, if you're the pitching staff, you again probably feel like we don't have a margin for error. And even sitting here with, I mean, what, you've scored 9 runs over the last 3 days? It's not the worst number. It's not a good one, but it's not the worst number on the planet. I don't even feel like as we sit here that is something the pitching staff feels like is going to be a regular for what they get in terms of run support. I can guarantee you right now, a guy like Tanner Bibee is not sitting here going, oh, I'm expecting that, you know, when I pitch tomorrow night against Houston, I'm walking away with four runs of support. We should feel good. Tanner Bibee hasn't been able to get four runs of support, it feels like, in just about any game he's pitched this year. And when you topple on all of the injuries, and even, I mean, going through and looking at the box score today, again, you were aided, I mean, drastically by the long ball. You got a homer out of David Fry, Travis Bazzana, and Kyle Manzardo. The guys who are having to step up in the lineup, like Stuart Fairchild, I think, if I'm not mistaken, started all three of the games in this series. I'm imagining that's probably going to continue. They are obviously very thin on outfielders when you lose two starters. Khalil Watson has an 0 for 4 day. He's a rookie. You're not expecting very much out of him. Hedgie, not somebody, along with Patrick Bailey, you're expecting just about anything out of. But Gabriel Arias supposed to make me feel better as a pitcher. Reese Hoskins, who's hitting 178, may I remind you, supposed to make me feel better as a hitter. Brian Rocchio obviously had a nice day today. He was 2 for 4, but was on a little bit of a slump leading up to that and has had his position in the order changed. Again, I continue to go back to the idea that I don't think there is a single player currently sitting inside of the lineup that I feel all that confident in. Like there's not one guy that I highlight and I'm like, okay, he'll help you keep your head above water. He's going to help carry a lot of the weight here. You hope Rocchio continues to play well. You hope Bazzana continues to play well. They're guys that I have long-term confidence in. I like Bazzana as a leadoff hitter. I like Rocchio in the lineup right now. But again, they're not guys that I turn to and think, yeah, you don't have to worry about anything. That guy's going to show up for you more days than he's not. Again, we are talking about a rookie with just a little bit of time under his belt. And we are talking about, I mean, a guy who for his career has hit about 220 prior to this year. And honestly, I might have overshot that number. I'm not staring at the stat. That is a complete guess, but I might have overshot the number at 220. It's probably somewhere closer to like 215. But those are the guys I'm relying on within the offense right now. That, and I mean, listen, when David Fry is hitting second for you, it doesn't feel like a good lineup. When Brian Rocchio is your three hitter, Reese Hoskins is consistently in the top four, I don't feel good about where the lineup is heading. And it still feels like, obviously, you didn't get a hit out of Khalil Watson today. I don't expect that to continue to be a constant trend. He's going to get hit on the board at some point. Hopefully, he hits the ground running after his debut today. But it's just not anybody I can put my faith in. It doesn't doom the Guardians. It doesn't say that the offense can't find a way and this team can't wake up. But I think all three of the guys, honestly, that ended up being injured were probably three of the worst hitters that could have been injured in this entire lineup. They're three of the most, I mean, borderline, I don't want to go to consistent because DeLauder has gone through terrible stretches and Angel feels like, I mean, he might as well be a flame. You can blow him out and then immediately turn him back on. He'll keep burning up until you blow him out again. But that's what it is. It is just hot stretch after hot stretch. But in terms of production, three of the guys I feel like I've been able to count on the most this year. Angel seems to step up in big spots, constantly putting runs on the board. Obviously, the power's been there. Chase, although the power has decreased as the year has gone on, has still put together really nice things for you, has still been able to come through in clutch moments. And Jose is Jose.
With Squarespace, you can do more than just build a website. You can build a business. Squarespace helps restaurants and hotels showcase signature offerings and experiences. And with Squarespace, consultants and photographers can create invoices to collect well-earned payments. You can even send email newsletters to keep in touch with your loyal customers. Done. So grow your business at squarespace.com. Get started with offer code MAKEITREAL for 10% off your website or domain.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
You went from having almost three guys in the lineup that I trust on a regular basis to potentially having zero. So, I mean, forgive me. If yes, it is a 162-game season, but today did not go very far in actually aiding the idea that I think the Guardians are back on track and they can play 500 baseball while Jose is out. 216-474-0092. Did the win calm your nerves today for the Guardians? A lot of good stuff coming up in the show. You can also get to us on X at Volnick Jake, V-U-L-I-N-E-C, Jake, so we get to our social media reactions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. The station buzz, the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, is coming your way at 7:40. We're into some Brendan Sorsby conversation, hopefully continuing the conversation on from where we've been this week, starting at 8 o'clock, 8:40. If you weren't listening to the station this morning, boy, are you going to get an update, and we are going to talk about it. That's all I will say. Get a Grip's coming your way at 9 o'clock, as it usually does. Kate Krakus, Sports Illustrated, going to be joining us at 9:20. He covers the Guardians. We'll talk baseball with him. Change Your Mind at 10:20, and Heroes and Villains to wrap up the show. But right now, 216-474-0092. Did the win calm your nerves today for the Guardians whatsoever? Are you sitting in more of a boat than I am? Plus, coming up here in 5 minutes, there is a conversation of what the Guardians should be doing ahead. Are you in survival mode? Are you in this season can actually win something mode? We're going to get to that coming up here at 7:20 as well on Overtime with Jake Volnick. With you guys until 11 on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime. The station buzz coming your way in about 17 minutes, but we're asking you at 216-474-0092. Did the win calm your nerves today for the Guardians? And for me, it didn't whatsoever. I'd be lying to you if I wasn't nervous for this team. I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you right now that I'm sitting here with every single game that goes by, worried about where this team's going to end up. And worried about the way they're going to play for the next 5 to 7 weeks while Jose is down. There's very little faith sitting there with the Guardian. I like Stephen Vogt, think he's a great manager, think that he has done a lot to help this team turn around and can, you know, he is capable of helping keep them afloat. It's the roster at the end of the day. And more of what I want to continue to talk about surrounds this roster right now on this idea that you kind of have to pick very quickly what the focus of the Guardians is going to be. Like, I think the organization probably has to take a look. We're already seeing some teams start to make a couple of moves. Nothing obviously overly dramatic right now. It's not like Aroldis Chapman has been moved at this point. It's not like we're looking at, you know, I mean, the massive players you sit out there, the Taylor Wards, players expected to be moved, currently getting moved on from. But teams are starting to make moves and make moves ahead of the deadline because we know how this works. The longer and longer you wait, the closer that you get to deadline time, the more and more that a player is going to end up costing. You are waiting on that decision. A team that is selling knows that they're going to be able to sell that player to a buyer, and you're going to have more competition. But I have questions on whether or not the focus of the Guardians right now should be, hey, get this team ready because the playoff push is coming, which, by the way, very highly likely. I can't sit here and vouch for the fact that the Guardians are going to win the AL Central. As wild as it is, that might be bound for the White Sox this year, depending on how the Guardians play without Jose here. But should you be focused on that, or is the focus truly right now for this team survival? Right? I mean, just find a way. By any means necessary, look towards the internals. Try to play guys like Stuart Fairchild. Try to get veterans on your roster that have a chance to produce, that have been in these type of moments, and see what you can get out of them. Because what the Guardians are displaying right now is mostly survival. Like, yeah, I mean, you've given now young guys a couple of opportunities. Like, we look at it where it stands. Khalil Watson getting the call is obviously a major league debut. He is getting the opportunity to go through and show what he has. But at the exact same time, on top of it, Khalil Watson is here because he was forced to be here. They were not ready to call up Khalil Watson. They lost two outfielders at the exact same time and had to start making dramatic moves. Part of me wonders if they wish they would have just kept George Valera on the roster a little bit longer, just a little bit extra leeway. Okay, we're going to DFA him anyway. Maybe he can buy us some time. But yeah, it has nothing to do with the idea that I think Khalil Watson was ready, although I don't think he was very far off of it. I don't think that they just shoved, you know, somebody who was completely incapable and not ready for the moment at all into it. I think he was getting there. I think he's getting to that moment. He is one of these kind of sink or swim type of players. Came up, obviously, entered the organization. I believe it was with the Josh Bell trade, if I'm not mistaken. But came in as a middle infielder, worked his way up, and obviously middle infield, while not completely solidified, is pretty solid right now inside of the organization. You don't need a ton of shortstops. You don't need a ton of, obviously, second base feels like it's pretty locked up by Travis Pezzana. Rocchio and Arias have been duking it out for shortstop. But you transition him into being an outfielder, a place where, clearly, this team needs a lot of help. But he's not in a moment of, yeah, like he's going to be one of your outfielders of the future. You have a couple of those guys. There's guys on this roster. DeLauder was one of those players. Likely Cooper Engle is going to try and be one of those players. He's certainly with the bat in his hands. He's going to be shifted probably into playing left field at some point. But you're playing sink or swim type guys. You are playing Stuart Fairchild 3 days in a row. You are, I mean, giving a ton of opportunity now to Rhys Hoskins, the guy that you brought in and, I mean, played better at the start of the year, but let's not cut anything short. He's been bad. He's helped drive in runs. He's brought a veteran approach, but he is there for survival, and he's a guy who's in the lineup almost every day hitting 170-something. Like Austin Hedges, Patrick Bailey, two better hitters than Rhys Hoskins right now, and that's saying something. And Patrick Bailey's probably on the border, but Austin Hedges is hitting about 260. But this is not the lineup, again, that gives me any faith, and I think if you're the Guardians, I understand that it's hard to sit here and actually go for it, but I think this is where kind of the overlap happens, is that you are attempting to stay afloat, you are attempting to survive right now, but part of your survival is bringing somebody in to help this team, bringing some kind of, we were already going to be looking at some point to say, hey, does this team need an outfielder? I don't think anybody is confident with the fact that, one, Chase DeLauder's not out there every single day. Stephen Kwan hasn't been able to hit. Angel is a guy who can play center and left for you, but I don't even know that everyone views him as an everyday player. I personally do. I like Angel a lot. But I don't know that everybody wants to play Angel out there every single day. So you are looking for outfield help, and specifically looking for outfield help that could put the ball over the wall. Because DeLauder hasn't done it. Angel still is not like a 40-homer guy. He's hit the ball well this year and has hit for power this season. And obviously, Stephen Kwan provides you, I mean, next to nothing in that category. What is stopping you right now from saying this team needs a jolt, this team needs a little bit of help, and let's go make a deal for a potential power bat? Even if it's not, you know, the same likes of go out and make a massive deal, go get one of the top bats on the market right now. I just don't understand what's stopping you from attempting to make a move, attempting to make calls. And yes, the focus should be get ahead of the deadline. Right? The Guardians have a ton of great prospects. I don't know that you're looking to give up Ralphie Velasquez. I don't know that you're looking to give up everybody at the top of the system. But at some point, the Guardians, I mean, have showed at the beginning of part of this year, they are, I mean, ready to be knocking on the door. Right? They're not far off of, we can get to a point where this team is ready to compete in the playoffs. It's where part of the World Series conversation when they were on their hot streak came from. It's where a lot of this conversation builds off of, but you've brought up a lot of the young guys. You've given them opportunities, and there's a couple more waiting, but like, how much talent do you need sitting down there in AAA to the point where you're just playing, I mean, a basically AAA all-star lineup? You can't have a team filled with a bunch of guys who are, you know, sub 25 years old and expect to go out and, I mean, compete and win for a World Series. And I'm not saying that's, I mean, it is the end goal this year. That is obviously what you are striving for, but I'm not even saying that's in the view of this season. If you were to beat the Dodgers, my head would explode. I don't think it's possible. But if you want to be competitive in the American League in a year where it makes a lot of sense, again, where is your pathway to falling out of the American League, especially if you bring in help? Right? That's the part where I don't see it. You are a top six team. You are a bona fide top six team. Even if you can't play 500 baseball, I think that you can get to that point where you feel comfortable and still think, hey, we're going to be one of the top six teams when this thing is over. Jose didn't suffer a season-ending injury, either to Angel, either to Chase. They will be back. but doesn't take away that this lineup still needs help. They still don't have enough bats, and you're not going to get a hitting catcher. You're not going to, magically replace a lot of things that are missing in this lineup, but you could use the outfielder one way or another. Stephen Kwan's not cutting it. You could use to upgrade from certain guys in the lineup. You should probably start to make a little bit of a push. And again, Zach Meisel on earlier the station today, this morning, but he talked a little bit about what the goal is for the Guardians in this current moment and where they're heading.
You know, Jose's not out for the year, right? And it's not just the AL Central. It's the entire American League. Like, the Yankees are the number one seed. And I know they swept the Guardians in Cleveland. Especially without Aaron Judge, that didn't look like a team that was just head and shoulders above Cleveland. Like, this is not the big bad Yankees we've seen in years past. They've got flaws too. Now, they'll be aggressive at the trade deadline and they'll try to fix those flaws. But aside from them, like, there's no reason why the Guardians can't be the two seed. That's still very much in play. They just have to stay afloat here and fend off the White Sox. And like, the Mariners just can't get going. And the Tigers are an absolute train wreck. I think it's a good time to get some fresh blood from AAA and inject some life into the offense. You know, you're not asking kids to be the savior here. You're just asking for them to get some experience and maybe just give some energy to this clubhouse. But it's going to be about the pitching.
And this is where I make the argument against it. And I like Zach a lot. I think he's very intelligent. I think this team does and has been needing, as much youth as they can get. But this is where you say, oh, well, inject youth into the lineup, get some guys from AAA, and you're not asking them to be the savior. No, at times right now, I think you're quite literally asking them to be the savior. Like, you want to talk about, you know, when you bring up guys from AAA, putting them in positions where they don't feel a ton of pressure, you don't want them to feel like they're a massive part of the lineup as soon as they come up. You want them to work through, you know, the adjustment to the pitching. You don't want them playing every single day, and you want them to ease into the game. And there's some guys where you can, throw this narrative away. Obviously, guys like DeLauder, guys like Bazzana, they know they're getting to the majors. It is a matter of time. Guys like Khalil Watson, I'm sure he hoped he would get to the majors one day. He was not considered the elite prospect that you brought in. He was a good one, but he wasn't elite. And right now, you might be hitting him eighth, but with the way the team had performed the 2 days previous, even with the way that the team performed today, he's going to be looked upon in this lineup to, hey, hopefully you can give us something. We're going to need a jolt. We're going to need extra help. And I don't have the leaders that, hey, even when Khalil Watson messes up and has a terrible at-bat and he's swinging at things in the dirt, oh, well, don't worry, the next hitter is going to pick you up, or two guys later is definitely going to pick you up. You don't have that. Like, there's so much pressure on the young guys you bring in to, again, where I call for it. Yeah, like, give the young guys some opportunity while guys are down, but it doesn't have to be bring every young guy in. Like, I'm still pro keep Khalil Watson on the roster. Stuart Fairchild, on the other hand, not so sure I can continue to be keep Stuart Fairchild just bouncing around and being the top guy I want around here. 216-474-0092. Should the Guardians be focused on surviving until the playoffs or setting the team up to actually be there? Let's go out to the phones. Our good friend, James Bridges, joining us now. James, what's going on?
What's happening, Big Weeze? As we talked last week, mm-hmm. I said they needed to go get their insurance move last week, because now anything you want to do, whether you're going to go get some bullpen help or a bat, they don't want to charge you extra, but they need to go for it. There's no reason not to go for it. You're at the top of the division. And as Zach said, there's nobody that really scares you like that in the American League outside of the Yankees. But you need to go ahead and go for it and get Petey Halpin off this team. I don't want to see that man in the batter's box no more, man. Get him out of here.
Yeah, James, he's definitely another one. I appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Always good to talk to James. But, Petey Halpin, Stuart Fairchild being two of my outfielders right now is going to make me tear my hair out. I could put together a group of college guys that I could just put wooden bats in their hand and feel like I'm getting more power. I could probably run down to the local Little League game and feel like I'm getting about as much power as I am out of those two. And then you combine Stephen Kwan with it. Like, if I see a lineup at any point from, vote, you might not be listening, you might should be listening right now. If I see an outfield lineup that consists of Stuart Fairchild, Stephen Kwan, and Petey Halpin at one time, I'm turning off the TV and I'm just throwing this team to the wolves. That is a team who the ball might not leave the infield for the entirety of the game. They might get an infield hit. You got a good amount of speed between those guys. Even Khalil Watson, like, not a guy who's driving a ton of power. What power bat do you have in the outfield right now? David Fry? And he hit a homer today. I don't know that I consider David Fry a power bat. Do we see where the problem stands? Like, I'm sitting here trying to rack my brain about, like, what guy that's going to play in any of the outfield spots can actually drive in a run for me? What guy can I trust with one swing of the bat is going to make a difference? And it's like, you've basically built a lineup off of Miles Straw. Congratulations. I don't think anybody ever wanted that. It's horrendous. Yes, you need help. James is probably right in calling for it a week ago. It's gotten significantly worse. Obviously, we didn't have the three injuries a week ago. Now I legitimately have no power. Now this team is desperately lacking. The three home runs today would tell you different. I'm not banking on David Fry, Travis Bazana to come through with a home run for me on the regular. Kyle Manzardo, I hope for a little bit more. He's only got eight this year, but I trust the power a little bit. I need more. This team needs help. And again, set your team up to be in the playoffs. You're eventually going to be there. This team should be confident they get there. But as they stand right now, it feels like they're in just survive with Jose not here mode, which I don't know is the right decision. 216-474-0092. Again, should the Guardians be focused on surviving until the playoffs right now, or should the thought process be setting the team up for once they're there? You guys can jump in on that as well. The most pressing thing said by our station's guest today, coming your way in 5 minutes with the Station Buzz on Overtime with Jake Volnick on The Fan. Jake Volnick with you guys here on Overtime, coming up at 8 o'clock. Brendan Sorsby still on the conversation, as is his agent. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We got fun stories coming in about 60 minutes. We're not a review of the morning show, although they may claim some shows are on this station. That's a shot at two shows at once, or a shot at neither. Depends the way you look at it. But they definitely had something we have to talk about that happened today. But before we get to any of that, we have to take a listen to the most pressing thing said by our station's guest today. Let's go ahead and get that done with the Station Buzz.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
All right, let's kick things off, and we start continuing the conversation from the Guardian, Steve Phillips, MLB Network, on today with Afternoon Drive, and he talked about the challenge the Guardians face right now with the injuries they've had.
He is the heart and soul and the guts and glue of the team, there's no question. But I think it's also Sandy Martinez and DeWater. There's some big holes to fill right now. And I think that, you know, similar to like the Yankees without Aaron Judge, any game you can steal right now, it's a huge advantage. I mean, you've got to try to, you know, and I like that Stephen Vogt brought Cade Smith into the eighth inning to get an out. I think that when you have a chance to win a game now, you've got to win it. You know, you have to, you know, you have to utilize your bullpen away because you're going to be undermanned offensively, and it's so much pressure on the starting pitching that, you know, if they already, you know, try to just score enough to win, right? They're not going to outslug anyone, and now you've taken away some of the biggest, most important clutch pieces. It's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be a challenge, but I agree with Steve on one aspect especially, which is this idea that Steven Vogt essentially has to manage every single game now like he's managing a playoff game. But you need to, I mean, go through it and be as cutthroat as you can to try to win any game by any means necessary. And I agree. Like, bringing in Cade today and saying, all right, well, I need four outs. I'm going to make sure that I have Cade for all four outs. And we're in a spot right now. We can't afford to lose this lead. We don't want to get swept by the Brewers. We could really use this win. Let's just go to Cade. You might have to put a little bit extra of tax on some of your bullpen pitchers. You might have to ask a guy like Parker Messick if he's pitching really well, might need an extra inning out of you. Might have to extend you out up over 100 pitches. You have to do whatever is necessary to try to win games right now. You absolutely have to. And you could say that for every game, but there's games you toss away in a major league season. There are games that you don't care about as much. Every game has to basically mean everything right now for the Guardians. We don't normally take calls during this segment, but very quickly, because he's on the line. Dustin's in Miami, wanted to jump in real quick. What's going on, Dustin?
Hey, Jake. Hey, man. Love the show, number one. Always have. For me, it's kind of like this. Just because they've had some injuries, they're not going to hit that panic button, man. Like, the organization has told you for years what they are, how they operate. They won the division last year. Mm-hmm. So it's just because, like, they didn't invest in this team before these guys got hurt. So I don't see how long we've been saying, hey, let's go get a right-handed power bat. We've been saying that for years. So I don't think it's one of those situations where they're just going to go ahead and do it just because they have injuries. They have an organizational philosophy. They stick to it, and that's just, truth be told, it's just honestly how they roll. The last big guy they got was what? Edwin? That was nearly 10 years ago, coming off a World Series, you know, appearance. That was it. Like, you're not going to see them deviate from how they operate and what they do. And so I just don't see it happening.
Hey, and Dustin, I appreciate the kind words very much. I will push back on the idea that the Edwin thing is actually the exact reason as to why. Like, I'm not saying they're in a spot right now to win a World Series, but you are looking at as weak of an American League as you can. And almost every single year, I agree with you, Guardians' philosophy remains the same. When they think they have a legitimate chance is when they make moves. This should feel like one of those years you have a legitimate chance. The team was playing really good baseball. They're not perfect. The bats weren't as good as they need them to be. So you provide a little bonus to the area that needs it. The part of the team that could use the help is where you should add to it when you feel like you have a real chance to compete in the AL. It's where I call on them to make a difference. And you're right. Like, again, most of the years, they would operate a philosophy that feels very opposite of this. But I think this is one of those seasons where you can see the difference happen. All right, mixing a little bit of baseball with football right now. Zach Meisel of The Athletic, he covers the Guardians, on with the morning show today. And he gave his take on Brendan Sorsby and attached it a little bit more to the locker room in a situation close to home.
I had a conversation with a Cleveland executive 2 weeks ago. We kind of got sidetracked. We started talking about Class A. And, like, depending on the day, their face will turn green because it makes them sick hearing that name, or their face will turn red because they think about everything they lost out on. You mention his name to a teammate, like, they'll walk away from you. It makes them sick. You think about Ortiz gets wrapped up in this. It was July 3rd last year. Class A walked around for 3 weeks like nothing was up. Business as usual. Meanwhile, he knows Ortiz is the guy that he, allegedly, roped into the whole scheme. Trust in a locker room, that's the number one thing. You have to trust your teammates in every walk of life and every minute of every day. And the second that evaporates, the second there are questions about effort and motive and intent, it's gone. You don't get that back. And so, like, people ask, like, oh, well, maybe Class A will be exonerated and, you know, he'll be back pitching for the Guardians next season. It's like, you think he could walk into that locker room? You think he spikes the slider in 2027? And what's everyone going to say? Did he do that intentionally? Like, you don't gain that back. And I just, especially for a quarterback, I don't see how that works.
I think it's interesting because I don't think Class A could walk into, and obviously Class A was betting on his own pitches. I don't think he could walk into a major league clubhouse and have anybody's trust. I mean, we've heard from Joe Royer this year. He talks about Brendan Sorsby like he's a great teammate. I mean, a lot of that happening, you know, more so previously to a lot of what came out, but I believe it was even after he talked about the person that Sorsby was and that he felt like he was a good quarterback, felt like he was a good teammate. I think that's the overvalued of it. I think a lot of guys are going to look at this and go, was it stupid? Yeah. Do we think that it was anything that hurt the integrity of the game? No. And Zach's right that, you know, trustworthy, you have to be trustworthy. You have to have the faith of the locker room. I just don't know that Brendan Sorsby at this point really would have lost it. I think it's a complete different situation from what we're looking at right now with Emmanuel Clase. I think that you have completely different circumstances that guys would more understand, be more accepting of than one that you have with Clase. They're two very different situations. It's, I mean, trying to put almost any type of addiction on any single player and label it the exact same. It's like, no, I mean, some guys lose the trust of their teammates when they do those type of things. Some guys handle it in a much different way. Feels like Brendan Sorsby still very well liked by basically everybody I've heard talk from Cincinnati, which hasn't been very many, but I haven't heard a negative word yet. I'll wait to see if that happens. Haven't heard negative words really out of Indiana. Everything seems to be positive on the kid. That is the main pushback I would go to. All right, Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on this morning as well, and she talked about the say that Munkin has in the quarterback room.
Todd also has plenty of say in who he's going to get to coach at the quarterback position. And if he feels that strongly about it, I really highly doubt that Andrew would sort of just go rogue and put in a bid and drop him into the room and throw that gasoline onto the fire of that quarterback room. So, no, I do not see it happening. And once again, I think Todd probably had some inside intel when he made those comments. I don't think he just was out there saying slippery slope for no reason.
I think it's interesting because, yeah, we're going to talk about this coming up a little bit at 8 o'clock. So I won't get too far into this, but I do think that it's really entertaining to take a look at this and think that whether or not Todd had inside information when he made a comment like that, I don't know that he did. Like, that is the type of comment where if Kevin Stefanski would have said it, I would have said, yeah, he knew Andrew wasn't taking him in a heartbeat. When Todd Munkin says it, makes you think a little bit more of he might have had inside information, would have put it past him. He also might have just went out there on his own merit and said it without any conversation with Andrew at all and spoke from the heart, and that wouldn't be aside from Todd. Again, we're going to talk about this more coming up at 8 o'clock. So, Scott Petrak, Hot Sket Track, whatever we want to go with, really, but Scott, it does his job well, so we'll get his name right. Scott Petrak of BrownZone.com on with Baskin and Phelps today and talked about whether or not he would feel the Browns have enough time to evaluate Brendan Sorsby before the 2027 draft came about.
Let's say they draft him, and who knows, maybe he gets suspended by the league, maybe he doesn't. But he's missed all of the offseason program. You know, he's showing up for training camp. You know, who knows, at the start of training camp, maybe a little bit into training camp, maybe he's suspended. He's probably not going to have an impact in 2026. So do you get a long enough look at him where you say, then, okay, it's automatic that he's the guy and you don't have to get a quarterback in the 2027 draft? I just think that's another layer to this where you could be asking the same questions like, well, I don't know if we have, you know, if you're the Browns, I don't know if we have the franchise quarterback, even if you draft him. So it's just so much goes into it. But for me, the main point, and maybe I'm putting too much into this, but the gambling thing really is a giant red flag for me.
Listen, I've given my opinions on the gambling aspect of it. We talked a lot about that last night. But I do think that this is one of the stronger arguments about bringing in Brendan Sorsby. And I have been very much so in the camp of, we are on a train right now that is, figure out your answers at quarterback, right? Get an answer, whether it's yes or no, Shador is your quarterback of the future. And I have made that claim a million times. It's why I think they should start Shador. It is reason number one why I think you should start him. I think one of the main arguments against bringing in Brendan Sorsby is I think that Scott's right. It's going to be really hard to get him onto the field. And I think it's going to be really difficult to evaluate what you have. And you are walking to 2027 with yet another non-answer at quarterback. It's, I don't know if he's good enough or not. Right? I'd have to see him play. I'd have to see more games from him. I don't have a true evaluation on how he is an NFL quarterback. And I think that's something the Browns can't afford to have right now. Again, you go out there and put a fourth round bid on him and just go, it's worth the shot. And you end up landing him, then so be it. You might have gotten a first round quarterback with a fourth round pick. It's not going to tell me, or it's not going to make me tell you to just go, yeah, absolutely not. You can't afford to put any risk into Brendan Sorsby. But I also don't know how many non-answers you can walk away with. There's always the situation where if the Browns actually overperform this year, if they have some semblance of success, then you might not be in a position to draft a quarterback. Sorsby might be the thing that actually saves you of getting a real quarterback. And that could be off the back of, hey, maybe Deshaun started. Maybe he won you a bunch of games, but you don't want to ink him to another contract. Well, Sorensby would be your only option, your only way out of that. Be very similar to the Steelers situation, what they're looking at right now. So can't completely throw it away either. Again, it is a strong argument to make. If you're sitting here saying, I don't want Brendan Sorensby, the idea you don't have an answer on another quarterback is a pretty darn good one. All right, that'll do it for the station buzz. When we come on back here in about 5 minutes, we're going to talk about Todd Monken. We'll go back to Mary Kay's comments and determine whether or not he actually gets to have enough input to deny a move like Brendan Sorensby. Again, it's coming your way at 8 o'clock right here on The Fan.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Amazon Music has everything you want to listen to. Music, podcasts, and now audiobooks. All in one app. Amazon Music Unlimited. Audiobooks included.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's is really refreshing!